my parents used to say that in high school.
Woo! Hey-o. You guys ready for the Colossal?
The Colossal. Perfect theme with my jersey right now.
Hell.
We got to take a picture of this. You're wearing the Braga like what could only be called the armor?
The
kit.
Armor kit. Yeah.
It looks like it has abs.
It's because it does have abs.
It's like a Roman soldier's, shield.
Armor.
Ridiculous. It looks so silly.
You say ridiculous, I say amazing.
I love it.
Will I wear this in public? To be determined.
Are you kidding me? You have to.
As like a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a walking joke of a person.
I'll wear this to the Portuguese bar one day during like a classical.
Patrick's doing the Lord's work, getting jerseys for everyone.
Yes.
I provide the boys with jerseys.
Yes, thanks, brother.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence.
Boys.
Cheers.
Open wide for the sucker!
Just got the glove.
That's awesome.
The wind, roasted. For me, very impressive.
Just got the glove.
We have top players.
Portugal.
Welcome to the Portugal Corner, the podcast where we talk about all things Portuguese soccer, the good, the bad, and the funny. I am Evan.
I'm Patrick.
So he gets a shout out for the jerseys, and I get nothing for the spread. There was a whole spread provided, and you guys just want to gloss over
but who
that.
Are you?
Why don't
you
talk about the spread?
Why don't you just say your damn name right now?
I'm Justin, and I got a problem with
and
what just went down.
And I'm Chris, and I'm covered in armor, baby.
It was a good spread.
It was a beautiful spread.
An assortment of meats and cheeses to watch the Porto game this afternoon. A team I don't even cheer for.
And that's fish. Why you made the spread.
That's right. At least if I don't get to enjoy the game, I get to enjoy the spread.
It's good meats and cheeses.
Yeah.
Fish right out of a can.
Fish.
You bought guacamole. We've never had guacamole in our house ever.
No, too Mexican.
Yep. But, you had beer. You had wine. You even had teas and soft drinks as well.
Teas and crumpets, you would even say.
Ooh. Triscuits.
But you know what? We don't have time for any of that. So much football to get to. Like, yes. It's a jam-packed day.
No nonsense today.
No.
Yeah. Episode 90.
I'm keeping you guys to that. No nonsense.
No nonsense.
Episode 97, we celebrate that with Francisco Reyes Ferreira, who goes by Ferro, the man from Benfica, now at Hajduk Split. They gave up on him.
No.
Yeah.
He's not a bust. Yeah, they sold him to Hajduk Split.
And they scored right away, I remember that.
Yeah, it was last season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
6'4", Iron Man, you would call him.
You would think so.
Literally.
And at one point, he was going to be our big center back, and he helped us win a title. It was him and Ruben Dias.
He was amazing, yeah, with Ruben Dias. And then the next season was a total capitulation.
Capitulation.
Yeah, it really fell off for him hard. But, you know, when you got João Felix carrying the team and some Jonas up top and we're being
teams
10-0, the defense can kind of, you know, take
it's
a back seat. It's easier for them, right? The midfield's controlling the game, not too stressful on the defense. But then once those lean years came, focus was really on him. And when the Tecaza Pion loan, Valencia, Hajduk Split, Vitesse, and once you're in those kind of leagues, I don't see
once
a bounce
been passed
back.
Around that much.
the crazy thing, it's like, okay, when you see a guy go to Turkey and succeed there, maybe he can come back on Benfica or a Portuguese league team. But these other leages, like Croatian league, I don't know. I don't know about that, brother.
Apparently he loves it there.
Hey, who wouldn't? Croatia is a beautiful country. I've never been, but I have Croatian friends and I've heard it's amazing. It's all coastline. Split. So you know.
I'd love to go.
I'd love to go too.
It's kind of like a Portugal situation where which country are they connected with? They're connected with another country, and then it's like it's same as like Spain. It's like, why would Spain give up the whole coast? It's the same thing as Croatia. They're like holding on to the coast, right?
Right. Yeah. It's like Serbia or something like that.
I think Game of Thrones filmed in Croatia.
Yep. A lot of it.
Beautiful country. Beautiful. I mean, amazing soccer country, but you can't say their league is anywhere close to
Portuguese
where Portuguese league.
Yeah. No.
As long as he's happy.
Yeah.
He's living a nice life. So, and playing well. And then maybe he can go on to something else.
He's got good olives. I'm sure there's good spreads down there, too.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Absolutely.
All right. Moving on right into the Champions League. Let's start with what happened today. Porto, they lose 1-0 to Inter. A lot of saves by Diogo Costa. Not enough to get the ball in the net. And Otavio gets his first red card ever.
Crazy. Is that facts?
Yeah. According to Twitter, it's facts.
Ever in his life.
He's been a good boy his whole entire life.
A shit disturber.
Then he gets to Inter. No bueno.
It looks like they were evenly matched throughout the whole game. You know, Porto tried their sort of, what do you call it?
Shithousery.
Their shithousery a little bit. Otavio tried it, and I guess it burned him because it got him a yellow, and then he fouls a guy outside the box.
Yep.
And that gets the red.
Yeah.
Completely turned the game on its head because there was chances both ways, and Porto had chances to score. Onana was just sort of making a bunch of saves.
Well, once Onana got that three-save situation, I was like,
I think it was Grujic got the shot and then Galeno with the rebound.
That looked like a tennis rally.
Jesus.
Yeah. They were just pinging it back at him. He was pinging it back to them.
Pepper in the net. It was, I don't know, Porto had some good chances. Later on in the game, Inter was really taking over and bringing all the pressure. And then after the Otavio red card, Lukaku comes on.
Porto needed some subs. Why didn't they make any subs?
You didn't come on. I don't know if he's hurt.
No, I think they went with Grujic. He's just a bigger guy. Especially
but still, if it hasn't been working for 80 minutes, switch it up, baby.
They brought on Evan Nielsen eventually. And
I think even with the new scoring system, it felt like, looking back in retrospect, that Sergio Conceição's aim was, we're going to tie there and then we'll beat them at home. Mm-hmm. And it sort of backfired just by losing by one goal. But you know what? You go home, you win 2-1.
Yeah.
You're right
or
there.
Or 1-0.
Or 1-0.
Go to extra time. Extra time at home is better than extra time away.
True.
Yep. You go, you take them to penalties, and you got Diogo Costa in net, which I'm feeling they probably feel confident about.
Mm-hmm. But it's not the worst loss.
Man, Diogo Costa made some freaking saves.
He's been on fire this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was against Lautaro, I'm not even sure. But just that reflex of that strong arm going up.
Yeah.
That was like
the forearm strength.
Just batted it right out of there.
Not a great start for the first knockarounds for Porto, but bring it back to Portugal and hope they can turn it around. Also today was City and Leipzig played. I think that was a 1-1 draw. Mahrez and the Croatian center back, what's his name? Gvardiol,
yep.
Yeah, they both scored. Yesterday, Napoli beat Frankfurt 2-0. And also Liverpool played Real Madrid. They thought they had one over on them. Two early goals, one from Darwin, and then one from Salah. Goalie error there on Courtois. Vinicius gets two. And then in the second, Madrid just closes them down with the help of Benzema.
In the second half, yeah. And just one point about this, and I'll hand it over to Chris. As much as this game we watched today, Porto was and Onana, Diogo Costa was a goalie's duel. Two amazing goalies making amazing saves.
Yeah.
The game before. Game yesterday was just two great goalies making blunders.
Dude, it was awful.
A
mistake duel. Yeah. And I've seen Allison have those days, but I haven't really seen Courtois. That was kind of I've never seen Courtois fall apart like that.
Yeah, he played at Chelsea for a couple of years. Yeah.
When it was happening, there was like a point, and I think it kept happening throughout the game, that guys were just slipping on that Anfield pitch.
Yeah.
They kept slipping. So then when I saw Courtois do it, it looked like he slipped, but he didn't.
No.
He just mishandled the ball like a goalie would, like just played it with his knee and it went to Salah.
Yeah, you saw him looking down and then looking up and then he just kind of froze. Yeah, and then, you know, that's all it takes sometimes.
Liverpool just cannot do it against Real.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
You want to blame it on Alisson, but it's like defensively, it's not just Alisson.
Yeah, like, when it's 5-2, you know, Alisson really botched that one goal with Vinicius, but
yeah, Joe Gomez fucked up, Van Dijk fucked up, like, you know, they just didn't look confident and comfortable. They couldn't hold possession, especially when they were down. It was like, even when they were up, they couldn't. But
is Madrid really that strong, or is Liverpool just that cursed by Real?
I don't watch that much Real, but the announcer when the game started, he was like making it sound like Real are just like on a whole nother level this year. And I was like, okay, well, we'll see what's happening.
They're not even first in the league.
I don't know.
But when they play Champions League, Champions League Madrid.
Yeah.
And they scraped. I felt that they scraped by last year. Like, I remember when, and this is like my Benfica cockiness, I was like, we're going to beat fucking, if they draw us with Real Madrid, we'll take them out. And they scrape by City. They scrape by, who's the other team they scrape by? French team, maybe? PSG, they scrape by.
Jeez.
Well, why are you saying scrape?
It was right at the end. It was like second half, these big comebacks that were just like improbable. It was just the other team, we're going to use this word again, capitulating, where they should have won and they didn't. And hey, let's give it up to Madrid. I mean, they won, right? Like, I'm not going to be an idiot here and not say they didn't deserve it, but
it's their tournament.
It's their tournament. They feel like the rightful heirs. That being said, though, Modric played amazing, and
sucks for Liverpool. It's real. I mean, other than just making Champions League next year, this is really the only thing they got going for them this year. And the way it started, like the Darwin goal, which is amazing. Do you guys want to talk about the Darwin goal?
The flick, the little flick from Salah.
Yeah. Hey, we knew he could do that.
He scored one of those like last week or 2 weeks ago too.
That's an extra 10 million to Benfica if he ever scores a flick in the round of 16, I believe.
Oh, congrats.
Whoa. Yeah, send it over.
Congrats, yeah. Checks in the mail.
Chris signs the checks, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Checks. It's in the mail. I sent it.
Thank you, brother.
But he's looking at least more confident up front. I mean, he's always kind of tried crazy shit, but I guess it's starting to pay off now.
No, even on the weekend, he looked really good, too.
Evil Darwin.
Yes.
The goatee. That's right.
PSG lose to Bayern 1-0. Nuno Mendes dazzles on the wing, almost manages to be the key to a Parisian goal, but he can't beat the offside flag. I think Mbappe put one in the net, but it got called off.
That looked so onside. I was like, oh my God. If you just look at it with your naked eye, you would never call that offside, but you're going to freeze frame it down to every single inch. And I said, they're taking through balls out of the game, man. That was just a beautiful through ball with Nuno Mendes coming from behind the player and passing him, but not in 2023.
Yep.
Not going to do it.
Looking tight.
Okay.
not going to do it.
Not going to do it.
That's for all you 90s SNL heads, if you remember that reference.
George Bush Sr.
That's right.
Not going to do it.
The Fonz finds Koeman for the winner. Juan Cancelo started the game. He got subbed at half for Alphonso Davies there, and he made the goal happen, so I guess it was a good sub.
See, I thought they could play together because I thought, like, Pavard's injured or something.
Yeah.
So Cancelo could play on the right, Davies could play on the left, but they're fighting for the left, seems like.
They're not going to do it.
It seems like they're not going to do it.
Yeah, I think it's what we talked about before where it's just, like, both of them is overkill in terms of attacking because then you're forced to sit more of your midfielders for defenders, and I don't think they want to do that.
Hey, I didn't tune into this game. I know it's two big high-profile teams, but maybe João Cancelo is playing like he did on City and like he did for Portugal in the fucking World Cup where he's just running up there sort of looking lost and then passing it sideways.
So, no, he's not going to do that.
He's going to do that?
He's a changed man in Germany.
He would never.
Yeah.
Fresh start. There's no egos there. No no tension. You know, he's starting fresh.
He just misses his little buddy, Bernardo. Maybe that's the only thing he misses.
Doesn't understand what they're saying to him. What do we always say? New country, new language, new food.
New schnitzel.
Yes.
Yeah.
New beers.
And Justin, what did he say? What did he say about his friends who he missed?
Oh, yeah. This is Sean Gillen just tweeted this. I guess there's some interview that they asked him who he would miss the most. He said, Bernardo. He's like my psychologist over there. Ruben Diaz, all he wants to do is work out. So,
cool.
that kind of sums them up pretty well.
Bernardo is a mental tactician.
Mm-hmm. He's got a mental tactician and a physical tactician.
He's a good friend to talk to, it seems like.
Yeah.
Thank you for being a friend, Bernardo.
Yeah.
That game, PSG did not look very good. Mbappe comes on and he sparked pretty much all the chances, even though they couldn't finish anything. Other than that, Alphonso Davies got Messi's jersey in 2020. He snubbed him.
Hmm.
That was the 8-2 loss, so I can get why Messi would be in a bad mood.
You couldn't get that jersey.
Nah.
Messi threw that right in the trash.
Ronaldo would have swapped jerseys with him. He's a sportsman. Yep. Messi's a little crybaby.
Well, actually, in the last game of the World Cup, Ronaldo went right down the tunnel and cried.
But, I mean, who's going to change jerseys with on Morocco?
They probably would have asked him.
Exactly. He didn't want to be asked.
Exactly. He just wanted to get out of there.
He's got to sell that and build a school, man.
True.
Rafael Leão wins man of the match as a 7th-minute goal from Brahim Diaz is enough to put Spurs down 1-0 in Italy. Is that enough? Do you think Milan are through, or do you think Spurs can come back?
1-0? No.
1-0 going back to London. I mean, it is Spurs, but no.
This is the history of the Tottenham.
Exactly.
They're not going to come back.
Leon chops up Spurs with some fancy footwork all game. He was looking good.
You're right. He was using that chop a lot.
Yeah.
He kept using it. But you know what? It's like they say in like
Austin Powers, judo chop. Yeah.
It's like they say in basketball. It's like, all right, stop me then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to keep doing this until you can figure out a way to stop
it. It works, dude, yeah. Me and my friends used to say this about Iron Robin all the time. We're like, he does the same move. He comes up the left, and he fucking cuts in hard. Mm-hmm. But he does it. He uses his speed, and it gets by every time.
Yeah. Can't stop it.
Yeah.
Even if you prepare for it.
Yep.
You know what they say. It only takes 10,000 chops to become an expert. So he's on his way. Chelsea are bunk. They lose 1-0 to Dortmund thanks to Adeyemi, who leaves Enzo in the dust as he charges onwards to score the only goal of the game. Felix had several nice chances and hits the crossbar, but the lack of a number 9 leaves Chelsea impotent in front of the goal.
Yeah, Benfica's were reveling in this because of just the moment of
Enzo
falling on his face and getting just beat man-to-man, 1-1. He was the last man back on the corner, and Adeyemi just blew past him and scored the one goal. But
phenomenal run.
Yeah, Felix... I watched the extended highlights of this. Ooh. And Felix had sophisticated.
I watched the game.
And
I think you get more from the extended highlights than the actual game.
I believe so. I mean, nowadays, I don't forget which company has it, but it's like 20 minutes. It's a full 20 minutes when you watch it.
That's perfect.
I mean, that's,
attention spans these days, you put 90 minutes of things in front of me, I'm gonna be preoccupied.
Yeah, I still look at my phone during the highlights. It's a little too long, 20 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. But João Felix was the man going forward, the focal point of everything, threw balls everywhere, attacking everywhere, but he could not score. Like, he was having an off day. He was not at his sharpest.
Yeah. He had one really nice ball he found Havertz with.
Yeah, and then he got the return, and he hit the crossbar. He also missed a pretty open shot in the box, just misfiring slightly.
He needs a good striker to play with, like a Seferovic or something. I think Chelsea should actually get Seferovic.
Maybe he needs a striking coach.
Maybe.
A better one.
Benny McCarthy.
He needs Benny McCarthy. Maybe.
Dude, but that's like at maybe you just need like a doorknob pylon guy. Like, look at Rashford right now. He's tearing it up. You got Woot Weghorst in the middle. He's just taking up space. That guy's useless.
I don't think he needs anything. It just is a bad game. Just misfiring game.
I wouldn't even say it's bad. It's just, not clinical enough.
Not exactly. When he was getting the ball, he was the...
Dude, he's on fire.
Most
he's the man.
Dangerous man on the field.
Mm-hmm. Enzo had a late shot in extra time or, late 80s. Could have tied the game, but...
He had another shot earlier. The guy's quality, and that's why I think... When they comes back to Stamford Bridge, I think they're going to still win. Like, just the way they dominated that game, Dortmund's going to be lucky if they can get through this. I think Chelsea. I wish them the worst. I hope they lose. But I just don't see it happening. They're just too good.
Yeah, if they go to the bridge, they might. I think they can do it, too.
2-3. I'm calling 3-0 over
there. I think they can do 1-0 back home. Who knows what could happen? Penalty shots and Enzo misses a penalty. That's what I think.
Ooh, hopefully. That'd be nice.
Tasty. Benfica celebrate an away win in Belgium when João Mario once again proves his PK prowess, followed by the return of David Neres. They beat Scott Parker's Bruges 2-0.
In fucking Bruges?
In Bruges.
In fucking Bruges, mate. I liked watching this game.
You watched the highlights.
I watched it. I bet on it, and I won my bet. I bet João Mario to score. I bet them to win.
It's a good bet.
I made my money.
Noah Lang coming in hot with his comments from the World Cup. But you know what? You look at those comments and they weren't that bad. He literally just said, like, I'll see a couple of those guys in the in the tie later on in the year. He never said, like, I'm going to come and fuck them up. He just said, like, I'm going to see them.
I'll see them on the field.
Yeah, I'll see them on the field. That's something like that, right?
João Mario's penalty kick was not that convincing, but good enough.
But he hit the crossbar in.
He hit the goalie's hands crossbar.
Oh, he tipped it into the crossbar.
Mignolet, ex-Liverpool goalie, went off his hand and went off the crossbar.
Yeah. Mario's powers are fading.
He blew it right past him.
Still in.
He hit it hard. Give him credit for that. It wasn't a weak-ass penalty.
Let's go to before that.
Yep.
Tejan Buchanan gets a very nice chance.
That kid's our boy. Fantastic.
Yeah.
The cannon.
The shot stopper, Vlaco Dimas saves it. I mean, eventually, like, we are too much for them. We beat them. We blow them right out of the stadium. We have so many chances that they can't even deal with us. If Gonçalo Ramos is firing, we're talking about João Felix being out of form. This was, I think, Gonzalo Ramos' first start back, and he didn't look sharp because he missed a bunch of chances, you would say.
Mm-hmm. 60th minute, they sub on Gige and Neres, and they just, like, engines on, man. Just speed and fury, and that's what got them that second goal.
Two fast guys you bring on when everyone's tired, yeah.
It seems to be the move, and we'll talk about it more with the game on Monday, but they start out the game with that midfield with Chiquinho and Arsenis. Chiquinho holding on the center midfield role, Arsenis sort of on the wing. Arsenis gets, it works out perfectly in this game, away from home. Arsenis gets man of the match. Chiquinho gets called Chidan or whatever. I can't even say what he called him.
Chidan.
That's weird.
And
like Zidane, but
yeah.
Chidan.
Yeah, okay. He's our Zidane. He's spreading the ball around. He's controlling it well. He's moving it.
He's a maestro.
How do you feel?
He's headbutting. I think he is a Chidan.
Okay.
No, I think he's fine. That's what he is. He's fine.
Just fine.
I don't think he's Zidane. I don't think he's as good as Enzo.
Yeah, a little early.
But he's doing a fill-in job perfectly fine.
Yeah. He's got to prove himself a little bit more to get the title Chidan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the penalty makes it 1-0, and then at the end, thankfully, mercifully, we get this goal of David Neres and Arsenis combining to sort of take the ball off him and just sign him back in the 89th minute. So important. 2-0, way better than 1-0 coming back home, and it should have been 4.
Yeah. Benfica was dominating. They were killing them.
Bruce started hot. They looked like they could do some damage, but I mean, in the long run, they didn't have it. But
and those are the games where, I mean, you're playing a club like Bruges and not so much like, you know, some middle or bottom tier side in the Portuguese league where they could nick a goal. And then what? Then you're kind of scrambling.
Changes everything.
So luckily they didn't. We managed to scrape out of there with 2-0. I say scrape. I'm using this word scrape a lot today.
They're scraping. Screaming. Well, I think Boavista has a better chance of scoring on Benfica than Bruges.
That they do, but...
But Bruges is not going to do it.
No.
I can't do it.
Not this time.
What? Sorry, what were you going to do?
That was a good heads-up play from Tommy Chong there. Neres? Neres. I call him Tommy Chong.
Yeah, hey, we've talked about this before. He looks high. His eyes
he's
aren't
ahead
open.
Of his fucking mind, that kid.
The one guy that looks so sleepy was the most awake to, like, win that ball.
Yeah.
On that mistake there.
Oh, yeah. Good when he's playing, he's very lively. It's like, more like he's on cocaine than weed when he's playing.
Yeah. He looks like weed, plays like cocaine. Nah.
Exactly. Beautiful. And that's what you want from a player.
Exactly.
People look at him, they underestimate him. They go, say, this guy's
this
high.
Guy.
He's going to move slow.
Yeah.
No, and Rui Costa was in the audience there having a good time, singing with all the fans. It was pretty funny to see.
It was very nice
to see. The man can vibe.
Oh, he was vibing.
A lot of Benfica's went to Bruges. Close trip, continental. Nice romantic place to go around good. Valentine's Day. There was that guy who proposed and also said, of course, I'm going to take my partner on Valentine's Day to see Benfica.
And give her some nice chocolates.
Hey, good chocolate, good beer, nice churches, good architecture.
Yeah, it looks like a nice little town.
Yeah.
Famous for their French fries and mayo.
Great movie. It was filmed there in Bruges.
I got to rewatch that. That's a banger, that one.
It is.
All right, moving on. The rest of Europe, Conference League, Europa League. Shameful showing on Thursday for Portugal. Braga wrecked by Fiorentina 4-0. Sporting narrowly avoid defeat to Midtjylland thanks to a late goal by Captain Coates. Both games were in Portugal.
I'll tell you what, when you're in Champions League, like you don't really like follow whatever the hell this crap is.
Yeah, Thursday's your rest day.
Yeah.
Dude, fucking...
Not if you got the day off and nothing to do, buddy. You watch soccer.
And you watch these games.
And you got the armored jersey.
And I got the armored jersey, yep. I watched that shit show unfold.
Do we have something to say about Midtjylland,
yeah. Dan gave that giveaway.
Yeah.
And, but you know what? All credit to the Midtjylland player. That was still a very well-executed strike to score that goal.
Yeah,
the Midtjylland
man?
Literally found the, like, bottom left corner... From like way outside the box, which is still, that's tough to do. Adan was running for it, but he also gave it away.
Adan's fucking up. I'm seeing Danny on Twitter like getting pissed at him. These Sporting fans are not happy with Adan.
No, they need a new goalie.
Well, I mean, why don't they do their famous move? Hire a bunch of armed thugs, go beat this guy up.
Beat up Adan, yeah.
Make him rescind his contract. Isn't that their favorite move? And then after claim that he owes them money for leaving. Even though you tried to assault him.
That's a great idea.
I think it's a perfect plan.
Yeah.
Elsewhere in Europe, Mourinho's Roma lose to Salzburg Red Bulls on their first game. Mourinho can turn around. I'm sure he's been in worse positions last year and won the Conference League. And then the game of the day was United versus Barca, ended 2-2. controversy as Fred hits a handball at the end of the game and it's ignored. No penalty for the Catalonians.
They got enough calls from 2008 to 2012 that I'm not really concerned about Barcelona. But it was a great game of football. Everyone said that it was fantastic, and I watched parts.
Rashford, little mouse hole goal. The two Barca players that scored on United both played played in England. Rafinha and Marcus Alonso.
I was shitting on Rafinha. I guess he's not so bad.
Dude, he's good.
All right.
Why are you a hater?
Give him a chance.
He's a Sporting boy.
That's why. Yeah, you guys figured it.
It all goes back there.
Getting to Portugal.
Hey, do we still do those musical cues for the lead-in? What happened to that? I was listening the other day. We didn't have it.
Evan slacking.
You missed it?
I missed it.
Maybe I'll bring it back. Gil Vicente and Vizela held at odds in a 1-1 draw, keeping it very mid in Portugal. Fran Navarro botches a penalty to take the lead. Vizela would tie the game late through Kiki Afonso. Vizela still hanging in there, man.
I think the biggest sort of news this week of Vizela is that Alvaro Pacheco went to go visit the Liverpool Stadium.
Yep, he went, did a little tour there. Klopp, I think Klopp should be worried, man.
He said impresionante. That was a Spanish way, impresionante. Like, he loved it. He was, oh my goodness. And I think what you said, I think they're looking at him to hire him, right?
I think so.
Rumors started right here on the Portugal corner.
Yep. Liverpool is getting ready to hire Pacheco.
They're in talks, yeah.
Well, Klopp wears a hat. They love a man with a hat. Klopp wears a hat because of, I guess he's balding. A cap. And he wears a very nice newsboy cap. So,
Do you guys see Pacheco being the coach, winning the game, going down to the cop, and like doing a crazy fist bump or celebration?
Oh, of course.
He's got to do something like that.
Oh, he's going to go
off. What kind of move do you think he has? You think he's going to just three fist bumps?
I think he's
very calm, cool. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Kind of chill.
Yeah.
I think he does a tip of the cap.
Oh.
A tip of the cap.
I don't think we've ever seen his head without the cap.
And then they do a tip of the cap back to him.
He's bald.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you got to wear the hat.
Bald. Our podcast curse continues. Passos beats Estoril 3-1 as the Beavers claw 3 points against the Lisbon side. Scottish lad Jordan Halsgrove steals the show with 2 assists and a goal. Paulo B also gives him a little bump as he gets an assist that game.
That was a slick assist.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice to see as a Bivikista. Maybe a guy who could come in and be an Enzo-like player or a Chiquinho A, you know, like a better Chiquinho.
His name is Zidane.
Zidane. And that would be next year, of course. But, you know, hey, we'll keep our eye on him.
Hey, maybe we'll give up on him.
Maybe we'll give up. We might have to give
up. Send him to split.
Maybe he's a passage guy forever.
We'll see.
Dude, these Passos jerseys, they got to wear them more often. These black and gold, they're beautiful.
They are.
Black and gold's a great color combination.
Dude, it's fantastic. And yeah, it's little Jordan Halsgrove. He's still scoring. Another one from outside the box for him. Kind of a sloppy bouncer, but, you know.
And he's a Scotman?
Yes, sir. Not many of those in Portugal. And then Porto, Tony Martinez is the only one hitting the mark for the Dragons when they welcome Rio Ave to a real stadium.
You boys got lucky.
Yeah, we got pretty lucky.
I'm looking at you.
I was hoping Rio Ave could do the double on them. Remember they beat them? But they had Aziz.
Aziz, yeah.
This time they don't have Aziz.
No Aziz. We had Diogo Costa, and he saved us quite a bit.
Yeah.
Big blast.
I got him down as my man of the match for that game.
He was making save after save after save.
Blast by Guga. Beautiful save.
Guga.
Goonie Guga, eh? So I was watching this game. Patrick was watching me watch it, and he goes, "You're going to waste your afternoon hoping for Rio Ave to tie this game?" And I was like, "Yep." Yeah. And he left, and he did something else. And I was like, then Porto took the lead right at the end of half. And when it's 1-0, you're still hanging on. You're like, okay, the other team could still score a goal. This could still end in a tie. So you are watching, and I'm watching most of it. And then something crazy happened where this Rio Ave player did a beautiful cross all the way across the pitch into the box for their attacking player. And they almost have like a little bit of a rush, like a 3-on-2 or a 4-on-3, I think it was. Bounces up. The player controls it perfectly with his chest, body, stomach area. And the referee just immediately blows it for handball. Now, he did control it a little awkwardly, but there's no way you fucking blow that for handball when you are so far away from the play and you could just let VAR. So many people on Twitter after said you could just let VAR sort of deal with it afterwards. Just let the play continue, decide if it's a handball later.
Yeah.
Why are you going to blow that play dead? Let's see what happens. Let's see what they can do when it was a perfectly clean play. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
How could he make that call?
Ref. Hey, you know, you sound like me last year when I was bitching about Manchester City with the handball situation.
But it didn't even touch his hand at all.
The thing. This one did not. It didn't touch his hand.
Yeah, ideally every play should play out and see where it goes.
So it's the opposite.
Also, I'm watching it on a crappy ITV, like stolen box, I don't know how many KPS per second on a TV. And I can see from where I am that it didn't touch his hand. And yet the guy on the field called it a handball.
Yeah.
When he's watching it live in view. Like, I mean, that's crazy. I'm watching it on TV and I can see it didn't touch his hand.
He was caught in 1K.
That's right. If you will.
So you're saying that there's a conspiracy.
I'm not saying a conspiracy. I'm saying that that's an abysmal call.
Shoddy refereeing.
Shoddy refereeing and a little sus because I think why wouldn't you just let the play continue? That was so bizarre to me.
Hey, I know how you feel.
And it's also like a much more milder thing than just like a slide tackle you let pass because it's like, no one's going to care about this. Well, it's just like we're just going to hand the ball over to the other team. No big deal. Well, whatever. The game moves on. And then right after, sorry if I just may finish, the Real Ave coach went crazy off another foul and then got red carded out of that game. And I think it was the accumulation of those couple things happening at once. And so he got sent off. So little sus refereeing in the Real Ave Porto game, but we're not the podcast.
Another day in Portugal.
That's right. We're not the podcast to go absolutely crazy over this. Just bringing it up.
Injustícia.
Dude, I was going to say, what do you think is worse? Play getting stopped from a handball that never happened or a clear handball that happened that the play never stopped?
The second one.
Yeah.
What you said, yeah.
Everyone's I mean,
they're,
f-
I you're mean just, they're you're fairly... bringing back your Liverpool thing. You're thinking, well, you're so mad.
No, but in terms of talking about it, I mean, I think they're fairly even because if you kill a play before it happens, anything's possible. You don't know what the outcome would be, but if you let a play...
When there's a clear handball that's not called, it's like, well, that should be a penalty.
Well, it's like the one where it happens and you check it, in retrospect, you can say, oh, this was right or wrong to what happened. But if the play is killed before anything can happen, then it's like, okay, well.
The bigger advantage is given when if it's a handball on the defensive team and you get a penalty shot and that's not called, that's massive because that's a goal. That's just one, you get a tick on the scoreboard. The other way, if you're attacking, there's a handball that isn't called or it is called or whatever, it doesn't matter. You're the attacking team. Yeah, you know. So that's why I feel like, oh, if the ref did end up calling it, it's not that egregious, and they might have got away with one. But if we can move on.
That game, they also honored Christian Atsu, who's been confirmed dead from the earthquake in Turkey. Rest in peace to him. A little odd. It was the week Porto and Rio Ave, both teams that he's played for, came together and played. But a nice little tribute there for him.
An interesting coincidence. And very nice of the teams to honor him, as they should, as they would.
All right, moving on. Braga kick off against Arouca, helping Alan Ruiz feel like he never left Barca with a great team goal in the first 20 seconds. Banza would clinch the win in the 83rd. 2-0 against the Arouca boys there.
This is easy for them.
Yeah, everything's easy for Braga right now.
Not Fiorentina.
No.
They can't do jack shit.
That's another league.
And then what happens? We get fucked on the coefficient. So then it's going to be you guys and Sporting who are going to be fighting over Europa League spots and Conference League spots. 2 is going to be Europa League. 3 is going to be Conference League. 1 is going to be Champions League for Benfica every year. Do you guys like that?
No, I don't like that.
So what? No one wants that. What are you getting mad at? Are you getting mad at Evan?
I'm getting mad at Braga. Do something, You beat us 4-0, and then you fucking do what?
Braga's actually probably won the most points out of all the Portuguese teams in the past years.
Well, they're always in an easier competition.
I guess you could look at it that way.
Well, yeah, well, they did the thing.
Well, they bounced back because they were looking pretty crap. I guess they woke up for the weekend for this game.
I think the problem is our teams like Vitória and like Paços, who are just getting knocked out of the qualifying stages of Europa League.
Yeah, and something
they're not even getting in. Santa Clara got knocked out too.
Yeah, and that comes down to TV money and all that kind of stuff and not sharing of funds that the big three do. So maybe I should, you know what? I rescind all my hatred towards
Braga. Yeah, go easy on Braga.
But I mean, 4-0 at home is really bad with a red card, I think. And then, I mean, you're going to go to, what city is that? Fucking hell.
Florence?
Florence. You're going to go to Florence and do what? you know.
I don't know. Probably not four goals, though. Be a crazy comeback, though. Let's hope they do it.
Could happen.
Yeah. But yeah, just again, that goal at the beginning, work of art, man. Great stuff there.
And you know what people keep asking me? They keep saying, where's Gorby?
Where's Gorby? Yeah,
we've all been asking that on this podcast.
And Roger.
On other podcasts, I've been hearing them say more and more, where's Gorby?
Where's Gorby?
And we're all wondering it.
And where's Roger?
Roger, too.
Yeah.
Roger Fernandez, that is.
Yep.
And I would like to do an interview with Artur Jorge. And I would like to, my first question would be, where's Gorby?
When Gorby's not on the pitch, everyone should be asking, where's Gorby?
That's what I'm doing.
And they are.
Where does he go at night? What does he do?
I want to know his whole life.
Yeah.
His routine.
How does he train?
What does he eat? I can hear the crowd. I think I hear the crowd saying, where's Gorby? Where's Gorby? You guys heard that too?
Yeah.
More of like, Gorby, Gorby.
They're chanting for him. Yeah, right.
It echoes in the quarry.
They want him.
Yeah. The quarry bounces off the rocks onto the field. Yeah. The players are like, oh my God, they want Gorby.
Artur Jorge.
Well, the players can't do anything about it. It's up to Artur Jorge. Yes.
Yeah. Artur Jorge, this is for you. Where's Gorby?
Where's Gorby?
Show him to us. Let him spend some time with Al Muzrati. Learn how to be a great center defensive midfielder. That'd be a great combo.
Is that where he plays?
Yeah, he's a holding midfielder.
Oh, okay.
Well, Patrick wants to learn all about it.
I don't see him enough.
Spoiler.
He had one weekend last year, and now
scored
we're just
a crazy goal against Sporting.
We've been asking for him since.
He's French. Do you know that?
Yes.
Of course we knew that. Hey. Come on.
Just checking.
That's the only thing Artur Jorge lets me know about him.
All right, moving on. Millicão go to the Azores and take all 3 points, beating Santa Clara 3-1.
Gabriel Silva. He missed a penalty.
He did.
Or was
he's kind of their guy now, rather. Though.
Yeah, yeah. They rely on him.
But yeah, Famalicão taking all the points there. Controversial game as Boavista managed one goal against Benfica, but Gilberto Carlos, Gonçalo Ramos, and Peter Musa score for the Eagles. João Mario misses a penalty after flip-flops in the box. What about that, guys?
Finally.
This is a hell of a game.
Benfica corner.
No. Oh. Part two.
They're coming out.
What do you got, Patrick?
Let's go back to the start, Coldplay style.
Okay.
Gilberto, terrible first half.
My God, that was awful. We've been asking Bob, we finally get, because Bob almost snapped Pete's leg in half. We have to keep saying that.
Oh,
because
yes.
Some Benfiquistas are not understanding it.
Are they still on that?
Oh my God, I got to get to that. But so anyways, Gilberto starts, he plays. We've been asking, hey, let's see a little bit more Gilberto.
Change Bob it
suspended
up.
For, yeah. And God damn it, that was awful. Holy frig.
Holy crap.
That was one of the worst performances I've seen from a right back.
He couldn't make a pass.
No, he couldn't do shit.
And yet the man scores a goal.
I mean, we're coming from a club of, I'm going to name some names here. Miguel. Oh,
name dropper.
Ooh, Nelson Semedo.
Right back, see?
Maxi Pereira.
Whoa,
God rest his soul in hell.
Don't say that name.
God rest his soul in hell. Who else we got? Ricardo Rocha when he played right back. And then now Antonio Silva when he finished the game at right back.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Good. João Cancelo.
And Gilberto Carlos, as I like to call him. This first half was nowhere fucking near that. That was ridiculous. So we get out of the
first. Well, at the end of the half, Gilberto made a nice cross to Ramos, but it went right to the goalie. Goalie saved it.
It was point blank range. He crossed it right in, headed it, and the goalie was right there. Obviously, goalies play out of their fucking skin when they're facing Benfica.
Yeah, they're up for it. They know they're going to face a lot of shots.
Yeah.
Look at that. That header was right at him. But
it, point blank.
Good.
He saved it.
Halftime. Servi was at the game. They talked to Servi halftime.
Uh-huh.
Servi,
it's nil-nil. I'm like, Servi's in the stadium. This isn't looking too good for me. I don't like how this is looking.
Do they go into
we got
the red,
Servi powers going.
Do they go into the red light modes at halftime, or that's only at the beginning?
Hmm.
The crazy light show?
Yeah.
Well, this game was broadcast on BTV.
The Eagle was in the building. The
Eagle's always in the building.
Do the Eagle before every game. But yeah, the red light show is crazy. It looks really cool.
They've upped their shit. As we've talked about before, but
so they're turning the Luge into the red light district. That's what I'm hearing.
Oh,
I would not call it that. That's not something I would say.
But they have phased out the cheerleaders.
Yes.
What are they doing?
Oh, this is what I was going to say. The camera, the director of the BTV broadcast
plays the crowd too much.
Yes. Well, he doesn't play it too much. I mean, it's very much about the crowd, but they're not doing the... They fired the horny cameraman.
I think so, yeah.
He's no longer doing...
I think the police got up with him.
He is no longer doing the hottest babes, no matter what age, in the crowd. He is doing children who are into Benfica, which is very nice, with their parents beside them. And they're little kids, and they're going, and they're pointing to the crest. They're having their scarves.
The director lingers a little too long. Because like, kid's done, like, changes the camera.
Yeah, let him do his one thing. And then it's like, and it's also awkward for the person on camera because it's like, okay, I've said hello. You can change it for me. All my family's seen this. So, you know, I have no more moves. I'm out of moves.
Give him his 15 minutes, literally.
So that's our comment on the direction of the show, of the program.
And second half, Gilberto completely made up for his first half and got man of the match.
By bearing a cross from the other end, Rafa heads it in, I believe, gets stopped, and then Gilberto's there to bury it home.
Bury it home, drops to his knees, thanks the Lord, his Lord and Savior, for saving his life.
Saving his ass because of how ass he was in that first half. Saving
his career.
Yeah.
He does his... famous celebration, which is like a Spock, reverse Spock kind of thing in front of his face. And then Neris funnily just right beside him just puts his whole hand in front of his face. Like he has no idea what the celebration is, but he's like, yeah, we're putting our hands in front of our face.
It's
pretty funny.
Making fun of it.
What if he was doing the Bane and he's like, I can score now.
I think he was making fun of it.
Yeah. Like this stupid face thing.
I'll give it up to Gonzalo Ramos on that goal, that fake shot. Sent that man flying, that defender.
Much more clinical than the game against Bruges. That's a goalkeeper strike, but you skipped ahead because it was 1-0. We felt like we wrapped this game up. They go back like pretty much right after when you're most vulnerable, right, Chris?
That's right.
And
confidence is high.
When you're sleeping, and we fell asleep. That goal was like everyone fell asleep. Otamendi,
yeah.
Antonio Silva, Gilberto. Grimaldo's watching too, and then Vlaco Dimas right past him.
It's frustrating. Maybe I just remember these moments, but I feel like they always fucking do that. Like, just let it go right after we score.
And at home too, I felt like they thought they had the game won because, like, they were all over Boavista. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that convincing, though.
But they were trying to break them down, and they're at home.
Yeah, they had them. Yeah.
It was their first... They're at home. I felt like that's what they felt they were buzzing, mm-hmm. you know? And then they just let the goal... And then this is what made it so exciting. It took us all the way to the 81st minute to get that second goal. Mm-hmm. Like, it was tense in the room. We thought we were going to tie this game, and, like, we can't afford to tie because we know Porto's going to win all their games because of all their bullshit calls and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So, like, we have to win.
But before that goal, there was a penalty.
Yes.
The Rafa dive.
This is why and I don't like you skipping ahead to the Gonzalo Ramos fucking
sorry.
Goal.
And I don't think it was a penalty.
No. Rafa was flipping and flopping.
I was thinking of Chris. Ball don't lie.
The ball don't lie, baby.
And Joao Mario couldn't bury it. I feel like he was kind of nervous about it. Like, go to his trusty left side that he always goes to, and he tried to go right, and it was like a little weak shot, and the goalie knew it.
I feel like he's in his head, too, and he was due for a miss.
Yeah.
Well, also, the Mignolet in the Champions League, that kind of fucked with his head a little bit, too, probably, eh?
True.
Well, the last three have been, like, Portimonense, and maybe he got one in between that.
Got a touch on him, too.
Mignolet got a touch, and then this one was, like, fully saved. So I feel like it's been, like, accumulating, and also that he's been due for a miss. He's just kept scoring them. It's like, how can you keep, like, no misses? It's kind of crazy. And I think he was just due for one, and this is the one he missed. Now, this is what I got to say about the Benfiquistas and that step on the foot and Rafa doing it too. And our boy Sidi Baros coming in. What did he have to say?
He said, next time the Benfica boys whine about Taremi, which is justified, please remind them about Rafa, whose diving is so prolific, he might as well join next season's production of Swan Lake.
Ooh. And I gotta love the Swan Lake reference. Thank you, C.D. Barrows, an author, a man of writ, a man of
the
literature.
Cultured man.
Chairman.
A cultured man like I am. So I appreciate the reference. I agree.
Yeah.
And I was going to say this before even there was a comment. It looks like Rafa, Benfica, and the fans have all taken to heart this red card against them on Ba so to heart that every time someone steps on someone else's foot in the Portuguese league, they say, why isn't this a red card? And they don't see that Alexander Baugh almost snapped Pizzi's leg in half, and I keep saying it, of how high that was on this guy's fucking leg. And now every time someone steps on someone else's foot, they take it as offense. Now, the first one, which was the one against Rafa, it looked really high on his ankle, and it almost looked like close to the Achilles, and that did look a little dangerous.
Earlier in the game, yeah, he was actually hurt, I think, or like he felt that.
It looked pretty bad.
Yeah, and that would actually like got the back of his.
And they VAR'd it, and they checked it, and even still, I'm like, and you know what? We'll never know because these are all things that are like ifs and buts and everything. But like, if that was against Porto, what would happen? I'm not sure.
Guys like Rafa, like really skilled guys who can go around players and stuff, they get chopped at and they get taken down a lot.
Yeah.
But they also like to take advantage and dive a little when they can.
That one looked nasty, though. It was it was definitely yellow, and he got a yellow, right?
Yeah.
Red, I don't know.
How early in the game was that?
It was in the first half. The one.
It was like first 10 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, you don't want to ruin the game right out.
Yeah, oh, that's you're being this guy doesn't want
gotta
reds.
Gotta let the game breathe. Maybe he'll learn from his mistake.
No first half reds for you.
No first half reds. Oh, unless you're Baugh snapping Pizzi's leg.
Yeah, we gotta talk about that. Your attitude towards that. That's
Evan,
funny.
Unless somebody's dying on the field, it's not a red.
No red. No.
Gotta let the game breathe.
All right. That's
that's quite enough from you.
Okay.
No, the call in the box. I said this as it happened. He steps, and you could see grass in between his foot and Rafa's foot. And I don't think he even steps on his foot at all. Mm. And Rafa goes down. So we got our penalty. We missed our penalty. Can we all shut the fuck up now about this shit? Like,
justice!
Really? It's done. It's over. Let's move on, please.
See, but what if Rafa doesn't dive and you don't get the penalty? And João Mário doesn't mess up his streak. What if João Mário is broken now?
Rafa knew that. He was like, okay, you can miss this one.
Because it's a ball don't lie one.
Yeah. And he said, hey, miss this one. That's okay. Well, actually, João Mário, I heard this. João Mário missed the penalty, and he was all kind of sad about it and everything. Ramos went up to him. He said, it's okay. I'm going to score one for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's for real?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Or maybe it's not real, but I read it on Twitter.
Oh, okay. So just to wrap this game up, Peter Parker comes in, Peter Musa gets a header, as someone always does, scores against their old team, of course, and does what he does best. Target man, cross in, headed in the net.
Great. Who played that ball? It was João Mário, yeah?
I think it was it Grimy? No, might have been João Mário. Yeah, it was João Mário.
It was beautiful, though.
Either way,
great finish also.
He does exactly what Seferovic does, but the point is that he's not the first striker, so we can't get really mad at him. You know what I mean? He's a second guy.
Comes in, he scores a late goal.
So it's like, why we're not gonna be mad at this guy. If it was just Peter Musa every single day constantly starting, we would be throwing fits at this guy. But you know what? He does what he does. Great. Score against your old team. Great.
Score against his old team. He apologized. Put his hands up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Speaking of celebrations, sorry. We have to say, Gonzalo Ramos did a triple celebration when he made his goal. Whoa. Sorry, we're going on a bit on Benfica, but it's important. It's, okay. It's the most important
this is what
club
we know.
In the world.
Yeah, not the most, but
he does a triple celebration. He does. I'm here. I'm the guy.
Points down.
Ice in his veins.
Points to his veins.
Pistolas.
He always does pistolas.
Have you seen a triple celebration that quickly? He like ran through them quickly. Like it was like time was running out too. He was like bing 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 bing. Did them all.
You did the Macarena.
Yeah, exactly, pretty much.
Sounds like gang signs to me.
The other guy did gang signs on
us. The Bovista guy, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He put his hand up, he goes, brap, 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 brap. He's just shooting at us.
Yeah, shots fired.
I don't know if that's allowed. That's
Was he pointing at the crowd?
Well, who was the guy first half of the season on Guimarães?
Oh, he took the flag.
That was last year. He took out the flag.
It was a bazooka, like an assault rifle.
And can you imagine someone did that in the MLS? Oh,
canceled.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Let's move on.
Moving on the other side of Lisbon.
I gotta say, I don't like it when I see you two guys get tired of me and Patrick talking about Benfica. When this is like heart to the show, we have the most Benfiquista fans. This is the what they tune in for, and you guys are getting tired over there yawning and rolling your eyes.
No. Never. Hey, man, we're trying to do equality for all the teams here.
Hey, I could talk about Porto all day. I fucking hate those guys. Piece of shit.
Also, it was not only, but maybe 20 minutes ago, we were talking about the Porto game, and you said, can we move on now, please?
Yeah.
If I recall correctly.
All right. Sporting go toe-to-toe with Chaves in a 3-2 game. Pote and Nuno Santos hit the net. Lions lose composure, giving up a late goal. And what the hell's wrong with Paulinho? Guy's always offside. He's doing something wrong. There's a foul. Can't score.
He's in La La Land.
Yeah.
I think he's good. This is it's all part of the Ruben Emery's plan, like scoring those offside goals. Kind of throws off the other team.
A little bit. Messes with your head.
Yeah, that's kind of Paulinho's job.
This game, though, Pot did score a classic Pot goal. Tucked it. I remember how much we talked about how he was tucking it, curling mm-hmm. these ones into the bottom corner the year they won the title. And what some people said was that he's playing in a more natural position that he was playing when they won the title. So that is
where he
better
needs
for
to
him.
Be.
That's where he needs to be. Put the man where he needs to be.
Nuno Santos also on the net. Pot's first goal was a penalty. And then at the end of the game, it's almost over. They get another penalty. They say, hey, Chermiti, you need some more goals. You go walk up, take this penalty.
They gave Chermiti the last espresso. And you know what he did? He spilt it.
He spilt it all over the place. No bueno for Chermiti.
If I may bring it back to Benfica. They tried.
Please do. Please do.
God.
They tried this earlier in the year with Arsenis, and it did not fucking work. Yeah. Romario scored one, and he said, let me give this one to the other guy.
His bald brother.
It was the exact same situation, because Pedro Gonçalves also scored a penalty.
But do you think Pote wants to be like, you know what, I got one penalty, one goal. Do I want a hat trick on two penalties?
Same one, though. It was a 3-1 game as well. And so he gave it to Chermiti. Get some confidence up. Maybe yeah. it was going to be his first goal for Sporting. I'm not sure.
It's a good team player move to be like, let's get this guy going. Put
and
that one in.
It just goes to show. And, you know, props to these guys like Messi and Ronaldo who are, like, constantly doing it. It's not the easiest thing in the world. Bruno as well. You
Everybody
think, like,
misses.
Oh, this is an auto goal. Automatic goal. No. We have a professional goalie facing you.
Once again, first goal by Chaves. Adam Frangel.
Adam Frangel. Is that what you call him now?
Yeah. Another botched attempt there. He lets one in. Goalie's not looking good.
That one kind of bounced on him, though. Are we talking about the shot from outside of the box?
Yeah,
I think
no,
that was
it
just
was
a bouncer.
Nice shot. Yeah.
That's tough.
We'll give it up to Chaves.
It was skimmed a good shot. It was, honestly, it was very well. It didn't look like it had that much speed and pace on it, mm-hmm. but it had enough, and it was so well placed. Posting in. Come on.
Yeah. Fair enough. Weekends. Benfica still in the lead, 56 points. Porto 5 points back with 51. Braga in third. Sporting in fourth. Guimarães in fifth. Casapia in sixth. Bottom of the table. Passos still in last despite their win, but only 1 point off of 17th place Marítimo and Santa Clara in 16th place with 15 points.
Wow, look at that. Braga can get a Champions League spot.
It's possible. They're in the qualifying region.
Yeah, definitely.
Damn. Good.
With what? 8 points up on Sporting? Yeah, it's looking good.
And this bottom of the table. Pastos is going to climb.
Hey, man. They keep wearing those black and gold jerseys. Paulo B rocking it. Anything can happen.
Holesgrove. Sorry.
Scottish lad.
To the Scottish listeners.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy our nonsense, just a reminder to share and subscribe to the pod, as well as leave a rating or review. Helps other people find the podcast so we can continue to grow. Thanks again for all your support and engagement on the socials. Always a fun time on Twitter.
It's a good time. And, you know, if this is your first time listening, we're two sets of brothers, all cousins. And we just like to get together once a week.
Drink wine.
We drink wine.
We're having the Colossal today.
Yeah.
Reserva, 91 points.
And we talk about soccer. We would do it anyways, even if we didn't have a podcast. But we thought we got microphones. We got a computer. Let's track it.
Let's record it. And let's you listen to it.
Yeah.
You have to.
You fucking better.
And tell your friends. And if you need something to do at work and you're trying to procrastinate, just go leave us a rating and a review.
Yeah.
All right. Move on.
Yes.
On the England. Let's get to it. Arsenal and City finally make up their game from the Royal Funeral. And Arsenal continue to botch this league as they lose 3-1. Goals by De Bruyne, Grealish, and the Terminator.
That's harsh. They continue to botch this league.
Well, until the weekend didn't happen yet.
They made it. Okay, well.
They were on a bad run of form for quite a while.
They were on a bad run of form. They come up against the Avengers and Terminator. And, you know.
If you're going to slip to anybody, that's a team.
Like, yeah.
Well, you don't want to. Though.
You don't want to. But like,
you beat them.
It's the most excusable.
Yeah. But you beat them, and that's a 6-pointer.
Yeah.
They're the young up-and-comers, and the other team is like the experienced. They've all won championships before. They know what it takes. They don't want to be like usurped, if you will.
They're hot at the box office.
Yeah, they're hot. That's right. They're hot at the box office. That the new release has come out, and they're still like, you know what? We still got some juice left in us. We're going to take it to them. And they did. They did take it to them. But that being said, this game was on against Benfica, correct?
Oh, yeah. This was during the same time as Champions
League. I didn't watch
it. Yeah, so you know what? Didn't happen.
Yeah, it's true.
If a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it.
So just give those points back.
Yeah.
Okay. Bernardo gets the Lincoln treatment as Pep puts him on left back duties. And we actually mentioned that last week, and it happened.
Apparently he was good.
He's on this sort of like, he's center defensive mid. They're playing with three center backs, which is really unique. And he's kind of pulling back and helping the defense when he can.
Eustáquio does that too at Porto, and especially with Canada because they play three at the back too.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
outlet pass.
Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah, send it up.
When they're attacking, he goes into the center midfield, like his natural position.
Yeah.
But defending has to run back.
And again, I think it's just to like get more attacking options on the field so that Haaland can always get the ball because people or teams were cutting off the supply to Haaland, right? And... I don't know if anyone, I'm sure everyone's seen it by now by the end of this week, but Thierry Henry did a great analysis of Haaland, his play, and how he needs to adapt more to the players he's playing with as well as them adapting to him because some, you know, Kevin De Bruyne will always find him on the back post or whatever or wherever, but other players might want different kind of plays, like you need to come closer for Bernardo. So I'm summarizing what TT said, like he's my friend, Thierry Henry said, but go find that clip, and it's just amazing analysis, better than I could ever do.
Yeah, whoever has the ball, he has to kind of know where to be, where they want to pass it to.
Exactly.
Right. It's like when you play Cards Against Humanity, right? When someone's got the card, you got to know their sense of humor. Mm. You got to play off their sense of humor. The same thing.
Very interesting,
right?
Ah, yes.
I didn't know you go that deep on Cards Against Humanity. I'm always
That's how you win, brother.
You got to play the man. It's almost like poker. You got to
play
the
tactical.
Man.
You got to play the man. Yeah.
You got to know who likes fart jokes. You got to know who likes dead baby jokes. You got to know who likes weird sex jokes.
Right. Yeah,
that's how you win Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah,
and like, you're playing like what 4-3-3 formation Cards Against Humanity?
Yeah, something like that. And sometimes I play with a sweeper.
And if you're playing Cards Against Humanity. You play to win, right?
Of course.
You don't play to have fun or just like be there with your friends. You're like, I'm here to win this game.
Laugh. Dude, have a laugh.
If I win, I had the most fun.
On the weekend, City takes on Nottingham Forest. Bernardo thriving as a left back at this point, scoring a stonk. And City's only goal, Forest would tie the game through Chris Wood, man of the Forest.
Chris Wood, man of the Forest. I like that. And a contender for stonk of the week.
Hell yeah.
Grealish passes across. This is almost like a power play hockey goal, the way he slapped it one time to the roof. Keylor Navas playing goal. He made a bunch of saves on Haaland that game as well. What? He didn't make a bunch of saves. I think he saved one, and Haaland missed twice in that series.
I think he hit the crossbar.
Hit the crossbar once and then skied it. So a big miss on Haaland, but couldn't stop this one. Keylor Navas could not stop this one for Bernardo.
Jack Grealish with his big old calves. He's coming into his City spot there. He's earning it, yeah.
Jamie Tart.
What I like to see more is that Ruben Dias is starting week in, week out, and I like to see that.
Yeah.
I don't know why they weren't using him, but maybe he was still hurt. I don't know.
Reintegrate into the system. I saw a clip of him, like, you know, going for two tackles to block a ball, and it was like, okay, he wants to be back. He's not going back on that bench. Arsenal, on the other hand, turned their woes around. 4-2 win at Aston Villa. Two extra time goals to secure the win. Crazy game.
Crazy. This was an amazing game. You guys watch this game?
Nope. Yeah,
some of it.
I saw the highlights.
Okay.
Tell me about it.
Mitch said it was the best game he's ever seen.
I mean, it was one of the best games I've ever seen. What, Aston Villa scored first?
Yep.
And then Saka scored this banger, Roof Daddy. The net. I was going crazy. And then I think Aston Villa scored the next goal, right? I was scared.
You're on a roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah.
And that's
I'm going crazy.
Yeah.
Pee in my pants and everything. And then what happened? Zinchenko scores.
Zinchenko.
Nice low shot.
Low stonk?
I mean, if you want to call it that, sure.
But it went in.
Sure as hell did.
And then what happened?
I think Aston Villa scored again, right? It was 3-2. Whatever, man. I'm making this shit up as I go.
Coutinho, 31st minute. Aston Villa went up 2-1.
They went 2-1.
Yeah. Coutinho with a nice little
and Zinchenko tied it 2-2.
Yeah.
Right. Late in the game, we're all getting scared, man. All of us. We're in London. We're all scared. It's raining. And then this man, you know this man, Jorginho.
Mm-hmm.
He's Italian.
But he's also from Brazil.
He's Brazilian.
He's Brazilian.
Hey, man. Don't
hey, every country's got
we don't got to get into race stuff here.
Every country's got a Brazilian.
He's Italian. And then he does this crazy shot. It goes off the post. Hits the back of Emi Martinez's head in. That's the sickest goal I've ever seen.
Nothing more than I'd love to see, especially Chelsea, who's botched so many transfers and given away so much talent. When they give away such a great player to their neighboring team, and he just comes out and like shows, wow, why would you get rid of me?
Well, Chelsea, you're the best at doing that.
Oh, they're the best at it.
Yeah.
For almost for free, usually.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's also a little sweet justice Arsenal on Emi Martinez, the mad shit he constantly talks about Arsenal and the way he treated him.
Yeah.
Bonk it off his head. Now, people are calling this stonk of the week. And I'm saying something different, where I'm saying he didn't actually hit the net.
Yeah.
He hit the post.
He hit the crossbar. Get net.
He hit the crossbar. So it didn't go
but
in.
But then it bonked off. Everyone, you guys hate Emi Martinez, right?
Hate him. Despise him.
But it bonks off the back of his head in a humiliation goal.
That's what I like about it the most.
Humiliation.
It does happen.
Finish him, if you will.
It does happen so fast that you almost think that Chris didn't see it. So you're like, hey, yeah. You got to stop and rewind it so Chris can see it.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Contender would be Bernardo, right? Stonk. Can we get into Stonk a week right
let's,
now?
Let's get into Stonk a week. Stonk
we've
week,
talked
right?
about the Stonk.
Obviously, there's only two. Unless I'm
there's a guy from the Portuguese second division. I think he might win it, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we got to see that one. But there's the Bernardo Stonk, which was nice, and it was clean. And, you know, it went in. A little bit of a curve on it. Beautiful goal. And then you got this Jorginho banger. And when I saw that goal, I went, holy shit. Yeah. I didn't do that for Bernardo.
It's also a holy shit, wow, goal. It's the winner.
I didn't do that for Bernardo. And I think, you know,
the pace on this shot, too.
When you see a Stonk of the Week, a funny movie, you just know it's funny. You don't have to explain to someone why it's funny.
I like the pace on it. I like how hard it's hit. I like that it hits the post.
It bonked off his back of his head.
Stop that. I like that it hit the post, but it didn't go into the net and down. It wasn't a cheese bar, as we like to say. It was just a crossbar out. And
bonk.
Yes, it bonked. I will give you that it bonked. Is that fair?
But do we like the bonk? Yes or no?
I love the bonk. But the bonk is hilarious.
Does a bonk make it a stonk?
That's right. Does a bonk make it a stonk?
I think we can allow the bonk. I'll allow it. As the judge of stonks.
I have a vote here as one of the members of the Portugal Corner, and I vote for Bonk, and I vote for Jorginho to be the stonk. Okay.
I was voted in this office. I also have a vote.
Yep.
And I vote for Jorginho, the Italian man.
Well, let's check out this one from...
I think we need to watch more Clovis.
How many goals has this guy scored?
This is it.
Ooh.
That seems like stonk of
the
week to me.
That's stonk of the week. Clovis.
Well done, but no Bonk.
No bonk.
A stonk without a bonk. All right.
Well, you two say Jorginho. You say Clovis. I'm going to say Bernardo, so we give it to Jorginho.
All righty.
Okay. What? Okay. I agree. But anyways, there was a fourth goal.
Yes.
Villa pulled their goalie, hockey style.
Because that guy's an idiot.
Tried to get a goal.
So much karma that I love that Emi Martinez can just...
There you go.
Screw this
guy. Love the karma. Remember when he put the trophy on his dick? Nobody liked that.
Idiot.
I actually loved that.
I thought that was funny.
It was funny, but like, you know, composure. Compose yourself.
Come on, this is Qatar. Be serious. So then Fabio Vieira leads the breakaway. He's running. He's running. He sees his buddy. These guys are best friends, actually.
Oh, yeah.
They both speak Portuguese. They must be.
They do. About the same age.
Young lads.
Both of Franges.
Gabriel Martinelli. He sends him in, and then he knows he's through. He does a fist bump like on one knee. He's like, that's a goal for my best friend, Martinelli.
And the team. Then, and a win for us. And 3 points.
He's mostly happy for his buddy, Martinelli.
Okay.
Patrick in
thriving.
And then Martinelli's through. And on his way to put it into the net, he throws his hands up.
As well.
If I throw my hands up, I get nervous. I'm like, what if I just fall right now?
Yeah. You want to kick it first before you throw the hands up.
No, but it's cool to start celebrating before you even kick it.
It's very Usain Bolt. It's very...
It's Usain Bolt. It's like
that's a Usain Bolt.
It's like a lot happens a lot in the NFL. Someone running in for a touchdown, they start celebrating.
Yeah, but there's lots of highlights in NFL of
where
people
they fuck it up.
Fucking it up.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of. But yeah, of course.
There's also marathon guys or like long distance runners of celebrating too early, and there's a guy who's running right behind him.
Cyclists that do it and they fall over.
But Fabio Vieira knew how good that pass was, and he knew no one was going to stop.
Oh, yeah, Fabio Vieira was confident, but I'm saying when Martinelli was through.
Let's be thankful it ended the way it did.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Great celebrations.
Making the
all
point,
around.
Making the points up from the midweek game.
Yeah.
So say...
Right? And they got scared. Fucking Villa. The Thrilla in Villa.
As they say.
Thrilla at the Villa.
Thrilla at the Villa.
So they make the points back up and we're right back where we started. Very nice.
Well, it's all right. Man,
like going back to the start.
Right back where we started from.
Chelsea's woes continue as they lose to Southampton. Last place team. They can only sit back and watch as James Ward-Prowse masterclass free kick, 1-0 game.
That makes me happy when he scores free kicks.
He's so fucking good, man.
He's the English Janino, basically.
Yeah, he's fucking...
Is he English?
Yeah.
He's the English Janino.
I believe he was taken to the World Cup just purely because of that. It's like, what if there's a situation at the end of the game we need
I don't think they snubbed him. I'm pretty sure they snubbed him. They can't bring someone from Southampton. How would that make England look? Make them look like a bunch of idiots.
Wankers.
Yeah, but yeah. Still can't get a win. Things are looking grave for Potter there.
It's good.
Last week we were talking about the long plan for Potter, and this week it's like, no.
Dominating the chances Chelsea is, and I can predict what's going to happen, if you will. Allow me to.
Allow it.
Thank you. I wasn't going to continue without that. They're going to go on a miserable losing streak, but they are going to beat Dortmund, so they will pass. They will get to Benfica, and we will face them in the next round. And then Benfica will beat him in the first leg. They'll fire him in between the two legs, and then we'll get a new coach bounce back and still beat them. I have to finish it with still beat them because I'm a confident Benfica, but that's what I see happening. Right before us, this is exactly what happened with Coleman and whatever, where we beat him once, and then because we beat him, they're like, well, that's the most abhorrent thing that could ever possibly happen, be beaten by Benfica. We have to fire our coach, and that's when Potter will leave, and then we'll finish the job.
Wow. Nostra Justin.
Nostra Justin.
That's right.
You just predicted the future.
I can see that. Joan Felix will be so happy to be playing at the Luge again.
Well, they'll design it for them. Enzo, Joan Felix, I mean, if to not think it's rigged is stupid at this point. It is. They'll just set it
like,
up.
You know, when that happens, like, you're printing money. It's probably going to be a sold-out game anyways because it's Champions League, and it's going to be, what, quarters?
It's quarters, yeah.
The game's sold out. It's already sold out.
But so much more drama.
I'll tell you what would be nice, some nice quarters.
The drama.
A nice quarter would be Benfica-Porto, and then we get a guaranteed Portuguese team in the semis, and it's going to be Benfica in the semis, and then we just beat whoever
I
we face.
I don't think so.
And then we're in the finals. Amazing.
Well, what if you get two teams in the semis?
As good as you guys play,
chances are lower.
If Benfica runs into Porto in the Champions League, I think you guys will choke. I think Porto has your number in those tournaments.
Wow.
For sure, man. Conte Sound's going to come in there rock hard and just take it away.
Well, sucks that only one of us will make it, but...
Oh,
I disagree.
Let's put it to a Twitter vote.
All right. We'll see.
I don't think there's a point when we're up 2-0 and you guys are up down 1-0. So let's wait. Let's wait until after the second leg.
Wolves botch a game. They fight hard, but Bournemouth grind out a 1-0 win. And then Liverpool go up with early goals by Evil Darwin and Gakpo, followed by Nick Pope handling the ball outside the box. In the 20th minute, a direct red for the Newcastle keeper. Should a goalie handball outside the box always be a red card?
Yes.
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 Like
you're the only one.
No, this time he was the last man. I totally get that. But, like, you know. Say
you have 18 yards squared and even larger. Use your hands in any of that box. Outside of that box, you're a regular player.
Okay.
I think if a regular player did that, an intentional handball like that, that's a red card for anyone.
In this specific position, like he's stopping a play.
Because he's the goalie.
Yeah. It's a foul stopping a breakaway. Like that always is.
I think you dislike red cards and you have this very adamant.
Too early.
You want hockey.
Do you want the penalty box?
You want a penalty box, don't you?
No.
No, you don't want that.
I don't understand what you want. I mean, I love a red card.
Hey, you feel like it ruins the game.
Hey, I think Xavi or Pique, they got some crazy Spanish soccer league going on there. If that's what you want to watch, you want to do a podcast about that, we can do that.
Okay,
we can watch those games.
To the Pique league.
Yeah. Similarly, though, if a defender intentionally uses his hand inside the box, that should be a red card, too, because you're also... It's the thing of, like, you're disallowing the opportunity to score a goal, especially if you're the last man back. Actually, you know what? When it's a cross, I don't think it should be a red card. I think maybe that's a yellow. Because why give them double jeopardy? Take away their man and also get them a penalty shot. But what if they miss the penalty shot? Then it's like, oh, it was worth using your hands.
Well, a lot of times it's unintentional. If you do a Suarez, like, that's
about
a red card.
I'm talking about intentional.
Yeah. Intentional,
Pope
yeah.
Pope intentionally tried to use his hands, right?
He went for
the yellow.
He went for the header and then also messed up landing and touched it with his hands. But yeah.
And he said, oh, shoot, I'm a goalie.
I can use it over here.
But yeah, they didn't score any goals after being man up. And honestly, Newcastle looked really good. And I was interested to watch this game because we always talk about we never watch Newcastle because we just don't watch Newcastle. And then I was like, oh, it'll be a good match. Gets the early red. And I'm like, okay, well. It's not really watching Newcastle now.
That's why you were pissed.
But you get the gist of it. I mean, Saint-Maximin looked good.
He
looked good for the rest of the game.
They looked really good for the rest of the game. And then finally, Manchester United. Bruno bags 2 assists and Rashford 2 goals. Third goal coming from Sancho as United beat Leicester City 3-0. Miraculous passing by the Portuguese midfielder.
One of them was a Travella.
Beautiful Travella. On to Rashford. Rashford just crushing it.
Rashford.
It's Benny McCarthy.
Clinical.
Benny McCarthy.
Yes.
He's hot right now.
He's so hot right now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you look at the table, not out of the title race. And if you're pulling for a secondary team rather than Arsenal, I love this. Back in the old days, 2002 to 2005, I want to say. Yeah. Arsenal and Manchester United. I love that.
Yeah. That'll be cool if United can jump City into second. And, like, that would be a really hot, really hot race there.
You could push that 2002 to earlier.
Yeah. Yes, sorry, 1998.
95 even.
My bad.
Newcastle jump down to fifth place after that loss. Fulham in sixth, Liverpool in eighth, Chelsea still mid in 10th, Wolves up to 15th despite their loss, and Southampton, Leeds, and West Ham at the bottom.
Wolves lost to one of the relegation battle teams, should not be doing that.
Nope.
One other point, Fulham doing amazing things, we should recognize them doing incredible things.
Real, and
keep Chelsea out of those Champions League spots.
Mm-hmm.
Wolves were actually on fire at that Bournemouth game. Like, they were on the attack for a lot of it and just could not string a finish together.
Man,
Jimenez
is cooked. I don't think he can. Yeah. He's not at that standard.
Diego Costa, man. Costa is like not. Yeah. I don't know. They just don't got it.
Diego Costa is old. Jimenez is like in his prime. He's just
true. They need Pedence. Every time Pedence plays, it's like good things happen, man.
Sarabia was there and he was just chucking the ball in. I mean, that might have been what the coach told him to do, just chuck it into the box, but
Wolves is gonna go on a run though.
They're gonna go on a run.
Any day now.
Run's coming.
Into France, Paulo Fonseca's Les Dogs take on league-leading PSG in a 4-3 banger. Star-studded affairs, Messi, Neymar, and Mbappe with 2 goals close the game. Dogs did their best. Leo goals come from Joe David, Joe Bamba, and Joe Mama. Diakate, just kidding.
The football gods reached out to me this day, and they were like, you should watch this, Chris. And I was like, okay, I'll put it on.
What drugs were you on? Someone
just the Sunday morning funnies, man.
Okay.
So you know which ones those mean.
And yeah, I put it on, was not disappointed at all.
Well, you got Andre Gomes, Jose Font, Giallo on the one side. You got Nunemens,
Vitinha,
Danilo on the other side. And it turned out to be a great game. Both teams playing attacking and I got to give it up to the guy I bigged up last week. A favorite player of mine, I will say. Andre Gomes got 2 assists in this game. Cross in, and then just a beautiful over-the-top through ball, almost like FIFA style. How you do a lifted triangle over there and found Joe Bamba. No, found Bamba, and he smashed it in.
He's Joe Bamba.
He's a Joe, isn't he?
He is. So the other things you got to mention is back-and-forth game. Jonathan David scored a penalty beautifully taken penalty against one of the best penalty savers in the world, Donnarumma. Where could we have used that? Where could someone have used that?
Imagine.
I have no idea.
Imagine if we could have used the guy that scores a penalty.
Don't rag on our boy too much.
I'm one of the best keepers in the world. Crazy stuff. And then I just wanted to finish off by saying, if you don't think Mbappe is the best player in the world right now, watch the first goal of this game, and you will.
Watch the World Cup final.
Yeah.
But if you were still doubting him after the World Cup final because people told you Messi is still amazing, watch this goal that happened.
Amen.
No, yeah, it was
really
good.
Jallo alone. He did his best.
He got smoked.
He did get smoked. I think Font got injured on that play, you were saying?
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
And sorry, Chris, you had some notes. You watched the entire game?
I did, yeah. Everything got basically covered.
Yeah, you guys just cover everything.
It's okay.
Vitinha with a nice assist for Neymar. And end of the game, ball falls to little Lionel. He scores a little free kick there.
Oh, yeah. One of your notes, actually, Justin. We're talking about Danilo in the box there, making way for the free kick goal.
He shoved the man.
You're right. That's what I wrote down on my notes here. Danilo pushed the guy.
Oh. All right.
Overall, though, since you did watch the whole game, how did Nuno Mendes play? How did Vitinha play? Because, I mean, we heard these guys not playing so well and for PSG. But
I mean, in a game like this, when it's so offensive back and forth, like it's just fun. It's fun to watch everybody, right? It's like
that's when they shine.
Yeah.
Over in Marseille, Nuno Tavares scores the final goal and the winning goal.
In the mouse hole,
as they beat Toulouse 3-2. He's the highest scoring defender in Europe's top five leagues.
Is he a defender, though? Yeah. He's like a winger.
He's also a beneficiary of a bunch of lucky bounces on this one.
Yeah, but hey, he did it.
Nice pass by Guendouzi.
Are you excited for him to return to Arsenal?
Are they going to use him? Are they going to play him? Are they going to sell him?
I don't know.
Who knows?
Maybe he'll stay in France. He seems to like it there.
Zinchenko's like the best left back in the league.
Whoa. Okay.
I don't know. He's really good.
Yeah. All right. Up to Germany. Germany. Jill Diaz scores for Stuttgart as they manhandle Köln in 3-0. Very important points as they try to stay afloat and out of relegation. Jill, he's scoring.
Bundesliga is too easy for him.
Beautiful curler, man.
Old Gil.
One time or in the box.
Tell you what, I know he can do that, but he can't do that against Bovista.
Does this man play right back? Could he play right back?
No.
Oh, okay. Then. Well, okay. Fuck off.
He's a lefty. Oh, I'm a left back.
See ya.
Bayern, on the other hand, lose to Mönchengladbach 3-2 after Dayton Upamecano gets a red card in the 8th minute. Too early, guys.
Too early.
Oh, 8th minute.
No matter what he did, we have no idea what this man did. He could have karate kicked him in the head, but it was too early.
Too early.
He could have done that move in Mortal Kombat where Liu Kang just jumps and goes,
the escalator kicks.
Yeah. Yeah.
He pulled his spine out of his body.
But it was too early.
Too early for
too early. Too early. Only after the 47th minute can you, or later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to say about the two races in the French and the German league. We thought they weren't going to be tight. We were calling it after a couple weeks ago. Both losable for PSG and Bayern.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you know, we always say it's too early. It's too early to look at the league table. Right now, it is not early.
This weekend.
Yes.
Now you can look
this table. Past weekend.
This is totally
start looking.
Fair enough time to start looking.
The up and comers Union Berlin and the Milkman look to steal the top spot. They played Schalke on Sunday, but only drew 0-0. Could not do it. In Spain, Kyle Larin scores again. Valladolid loses to Real Betis, 2-1 game. Carvalho plays 90 minutes, did really well, but Brampton man scores again.
What about Willie?
Willie.
Did Willie play?
He played.
Willie was Carvalho.
Doing bits.
Willie.
Ronaldo bags 2 assists to help Al Nassr beat Al Taoun. Nice long ball.
Yeah, the first one was really nice.
Yeah. Second one was a little cluster in the box, but he was onside, passed it back to his buddy. He scored.
I wonder if that was not going already in, and he stopped it, and then he was like lost control and went to the other
guy. No, I don't think so.
He pointed in the direction. He said, "That's the way you want to kick it."
Yeah. I'll tell you
what. You're going to want to hit it that way.
He put out a great promotional video today of him pretty much being like a sultan. Did you guys see this?
I think there was some festival or something happening there.
I think it's Saudi Arabia Day or something. It's right. like the...
I think he had a sword.
Yeah, he did have a sword.
Well, you gotta have a sword. Protect yourself.
It was quite interesting. And we have nothing more to say about
that. And that's all we're going to say about
that. I think it was kind of like that scene in Indiana Jones where the one guy has the sword and then he just gets shot.
They should recreate that, but Ronaldo has a soccer ball and he kicks him. Oh. Like a
Nike commercial.
Yes. There you go. Yes.
Perfect.
Wow.
Stonk of the week. Do we land on it?
Jorginho.
Okay, Jorginho.
Controversial one, you tell us.
Sorry, Clovis. Juan Wonder, 97. Bop,
bop, bop. I'm going to do something controversial. Whoa.
What are you going to say?
I'm going to say my Portuguese national team goalie,
Diogo Costa.
Or the entire women's Portuguese national team.
Oh, yeah.
The ladies.
They qualified for the World Cup.
Hell yeah, good for them.
In dramatic fashion.
It was a great game. You were up late watching it?
Yeah, it was in New Zealand, so it was on the 1 a.m. for us.
Crazy
for
times.
For some reason, they play all the games in New Zealand, even though that's
what... Well, it was the playoff.
It was the playoff to make it. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It was a neutral site.
Neutral site. Got to travel halfway across the continent, the world, I guess, the globe.
Yeah. So they were up 1-0 most of the game. Then late in the game, like 80th minute, Cameroon ties it. Scary. Because then if it goes extra time, I have to stay up later.
Right.
And I have work in the morning.
Right.
And so then they get a penalty. It was a penalty. It was a handball in the box. And then Carol Costa, she hits it in. Beautiful. And they go wild.
Wild celebrations. First World Cup Portugal has ever qualified for. And it's going to be something that we get to cheer for in the summer when we're cheering also for the Canadian team. But... the Americans, I mean, Women's World Cup is
a good show, man.
Yeah,
I love it. I love watching it.
Yeah,
even the Olympics.
Well, in this country, it's just, I mean, it's, if you're in this country in Canada, it's like as big as the men's because the women's national team does well and goes far.
They do well, yeah.
The women's game here is very good, so we're gonna have a team to cheer for during all that, which is fantastic. And Canada, of course.
Yeah, it'll be...
And America for all you American listeners as well.
Hey.
Actually, I think United States is in Portugal's group.
Yeah, so let us know, you Portuguese-Americans that listen to us, who you're going to be cheering for.
It's happened before with the men. That hasn't gone well, actually. No. And this probably won't go well.
Yeah. Probably not.
Joan Wonder.
I give it to the whole ladies' team. Mm-hmm.
The ladies' team?
I give it to the whole ladies' team.
I think they deserve it.
All right.
Diogo Costa, I see where you're coming from. I thought he had a terrific week, but they lost to Inter.
Yeah. If they had tied, maybe.
They lost to Inter. And they squeaked by Rio Ave.
Yeah.
But thanks to him.
Thanks to him. Come on. Sure, and what about that save today?
Yeah, no. Yeah. He's been playing amazing. Kudos to him.
Yep.
But
okay. The Femininas. All right, thanks once again for listening. Hit us up on the social at Portugal_Corner on Twitter, at Portugal_Corner on Insta. You can email us at theportugalcorner@gmail.com. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Take a minute to leave a rating or a review. Thank you very much. You guys, anything else?
I think we covered it.
All righty.
Yeah, I got to get to work.
Yeah, all right.
Always get to work on time.
Adios.
Work on time.